Today's reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 17 through to 32, and may be found on page 1175 of the Church Bible. That's Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 17, page 1175. So I tell you this, and must insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former ways of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
Well, a very good morning to you all. It's great to be gathered together as the Lord's people this morning, isn't it? As part of the church. And it's made all the richer for gathering with those who are serving the Lord elsewhere in the island and in the globe. Now, as we come to God's word together, let's pray that the Lord would help us as we look at what he has to speak to say to us through his word. So let's bow our heads to pray. Father in heaven, as we come to your word, we pray that you would give us minds that are alert, hearts that are attentive. And Lord, would you change us by the power of your Spirit? Lord, we know that it is you who works in and through us to change us and transform us into the likeness of Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would do that to us this morning as we open your word together. Amen. Like, share, tweet, post, comment, retweet, follow. And some of you at this moment are thinking, hashtag, what is he talking about? We live in a world that is constantly changing, and even our vocabulary changes with time. You see, I grew up before the explosion of social media. So when I was a kid, like was the way you felt towards the girl you fancied. Share was what you did with your toys when your friends came around to play. Post was the stuff that you got in the letterbox, and the only thing that tweeted was a bird. And frankly, I'd never heard of a hashtag. You see, all these words have taken on a new meaning in everyday life. And I'm sure that most of you are aware that these words are used to describe various actions within social media. Now, the most common social media platforms in the UK, I didn't find much reliable data on Jersey, so the most popular platforms in the UK are Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Google+, Pinterest, Snapchat, and LinkedIn. Now, if none of these platforms are familiar to you, don't worry. You won't find any of them mentioned in the Bible. But what you will find mentioned in the Bible is how we are to communicate with each other. And all of these platforms provide an opportunity for us to communicate with each other. And this morning we're going to be thinking about this question, what should I post? And essentially what we're going to be looking at is how should we communicate? How should we relate to each other, particularly brothers and sisters in Christ? And you see, the principles that are valid in online communication are equally valid for offline communication. Now, there are some people who might have said it like this, that the principles that are valid for online communication are equally valid in the real world. I very deliberately didn't say that, because you see, what we post online is in the real world. And for those of you who are still thinking, what exactly is a post? Well, a post can be anything from a few words of text, so a full-length article, it can be photographs or videos. It's anything that we create and then put online for other people to see. We might do it in a way that only one other person can see it, using some sort of direct messaging app like WhatsApp or Messenger. We could be sharing it with a group of people who we've given permission to see what we say, so something like Facebook. Or we could just be shouting out to the whole world through Twitter or Instagram or YouTube, something like that. Now, I know these platforms have various ways of being used, but broadly speaking, that is the general use of those platforms. What we post online is in the real world. An example of that is just this past week, Premier League footballer Mo Salah apparently using his phone while driving, and that was posted via Twitter. His football club reported him to the police, and the police responded by issuing their own tweet, their own Twitter message, which said this: "We've been made aware of a video believed to show a footballer using a mobile phone whilst driving. This has been passed to the relevant department. Thanks for letting us know." The things that are posted online can have a real impact on people's lives. What we post online can have a real impact on someone's life too. And this morning, from the question, "What should I post?" we're going to look at how we can use social media to build each other up as Christians. And to do that, we're going to turn to that passage that Jackie read for us earlier in Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to focus on verse 25 to 32. But before that, we're going to put those verses in context. So in verse 17 to 24, we see Paul calling the Christians in Ephesus to put off the old self. He said they are no longer to live as Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Instead, they are to be made new in the attitudes of their minds. They are to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Just pause for a moment. Did you notice what that verse said? It said to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. It's quite staggering, isn't it? God's goal for us is that we become more like him. And the pattern that we're given in verse 25 to 32 is therefore of taking off and of putting on. It's the dressing room for the church, where we see what attitudes we should take off and what attitudes we should put on. And the purpose of this change of clothes, this changing of attitudes, so to speak, is that the church might display the unity that we have through the Spirit. It says in verse 3 of chapter 4, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." See, as the church, we are united, but we are to display that unity to the world. So practically speaking, how can we communicate in ways that promotes unity? How can we use social media to build each other up as brothers and sisters? Well, we see six contrasts in these verses that we have in front of us. And as the question this morning is, what shall I post? We're going to emphasize the putting on. So we're going to see the attitudes that we are to have in our use of social media. And we need to be real, verse 25. We need to be reconciled, verse 26 and 27. We need to be responsible, verse 28. We need to be encouraging, verse 29 and 30. We need to be kind, verse 31 and 32. And also in verse 32, we need to be forgiving. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. And we're going to start by taking the first one, be real. Look with me at verse 25. "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body." As Christians, we need to be real with each other. We need to be truthful. Now, at the most basic level, we know that lying to each other or about each other will disturb unity. It will threaten the unity that we have amongst ourselves. And it seems that we live in a world where we're surrounded by lies, where people seem to lie with impunity. It seems to me that these days, if the truth doesn't fit, you just shift reality. I think it has to be said that we've seen this in the political arena quite a lot just lately. But we are called to be different. We are not to live that way. We are to be truthful. We are to be real with each other. Now, the way that this will influence how we use social media is twofold. The first one is the obvious one. The things that we post online need to be true. So, ladies, if you are going to have an online profile and you're going to publish your age, I'm afraid you have to actually publish your real age. You may choose not to, but it needs to be true, doesn't it? Slightly more seriously, a lot of people use LinkedIn to broaden their business networks. And the stuff that you post on there, it's got to be true. It needs to be truthful. Whatever content we're putting on social media, it needs to be truthful. Now, there might be times where we want to share content or discuss something that is not truthful, maybe an article that's published where we don't necessarily agree with the view. If we're going to share something like that, we just need to be careful how we do it. Because if you have an article, you read an article and you say, I think my friends would like this, but you don't agree with it at all, but it would help them to think, and you simply share it, the person might go, well, he shared it, he must think that that's true. If you're going to share something which you know not to be truthful or which you disagree with, it's just worth sharing and saying, hey, this really made me thought. I think we need to put some thought into this as Christians. Something like that, just so that people know that just because you're sharing something doesn't mean you share the views being expressed. So, for example, at the moment, there's a lot of chat about plastic and our use of plastic and how plastic is disposed of. If you're going to share an article about that, if you agree with the view, say so. But if you don't, or you want to challenge it, or maybe it's wrong, just say that as you share it, so that your friends who are reading the post go, okay, I get why they've shared that. That will be a helpful way of using it, a helpful way of being real. Now, the second way in which we need to be real, and this is subtler, but probably more relevant, because I'd rather hope that none of us are deliberately trying to post stuff that we know to be not true. I hope as Christians that's where we're coming from. But something we might do is post things that are all objectively true, but put together they create a false picture. And what do I mean by that? Well, I wonder if you have that friend on Facebook that, let's be honest, you're just a little bit envious of. All you ever see is pictures of them and their children smiling from ear to ear, doing fun things, jetting here, there, and everywhere on their latest holiday, their latest adventure. And it can be easy to be envious and to think, you know, that life looks great. I wish I had that life. You think maybe you'd be a bit happier if you lived like that. Now, the truth is that generally speaking, Facebook and most social media platforms are a highlights reel of life. It's only the good bits. It's very seldom that we're given a real picture of a person's life. I know for a fact that if you were to look at a few of my friends' Facebook feeds, you would think, wow, they've got life sorted. They've got the big house, the nice job and stuff. I know them. Their life is not sorted, not even close. And that's a very common theme, a very common story. Now, what do we do with this? It may be that we conclude, okay, it's fine to just have social media as being the highlights reel of our life. Most people get that anyway. It's helpful for us just to know that. And we might just go, that's fine. I'm just going to post positive, happy things on my Facebook feed. We may conclude that that's what we want to do. I think that's okay. But we might also decide, you know, maybe we should just put in a dose of realness. So instead of only posting the happy things, we post some of the downs, some of the difficult things as well. Now, I want to just be a bit careful with this, because what we don't want to do is present our downs in such a way that it just leads to everyone throwing a pity party for us. And also what we don't want to do is use our struggles as a way of getting attention. So I bet you've seen this post, worst day ever, and a little, sulky face, whatever it is, okay? What the person is doing is saying, please ask me about what's gone wrong with my day. I want your attention. I want you to interact with me. Now, it may be a genuine cry for help, and it may just be a shameless attempt at getting attention. So we need to be careful of sharing our downs in those ways as well. I've got a friend who I think gets the balance just right. Most of the time, her posts are of her kids doing all sorts of crazy things, getting up to lots of fun. From time to time, there's a really positive post about her husband. But then from time to time, there's an honest, heartfelt post about the challenges of being a parent. And you know what? I find these posts quite refreshing because they present a life that is real, a life that you can relate to. You see, the reality is all of us go through life with ups and downs. And so we can relate to a life that shows the ups and downs. So in our online presentation, we need to be sure that what we are presenting is a real picture of ourselves. We need to be real. That's the first thing. Then moving on to verse 26 and 27. We need to be reconciled. Let me explain what I mean by that. Verse 26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. and do not give the devil a foothold. The words in your anger literally means be angry, and anger is not in and of itself wrong. The commentator William Hendrickson on Ephesians writes this, anger is ascribed even to God and to Christ. If we read through scripture, we will see that God gets angry, we see that Jesus gets angry. But he goes on to say this, that in fact, in the age we are living, we could use a little more righteous indignation against sin of every type. And he also goes on to say, we could do with a little bit more anger at our own sin in our own lives. It's always easy to be righteously indignant about what other people are getting wrong, isn't it? But we should be cross, we should be angry with the sin in our own lives, seeking to root it out. In this verse, though, the problem is when anger leads to sin. In your anger, do not sin. You see, when we're angry with someone, it quickly turns to hatred and resentment. And the appeal of verse 26 is to do something about it, to seek reconciliation. That's this idea, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do something about it. Hendrickson again says it like this, genuine forgiveness must not only have filled the heart, but must, if at all possible, have come to open expression so that the neighbor has benefited from its blessing. Now, with the rise of social media, it's never been easier to make people angry. I mean, I can make people angry in Australia and Sydney and America and South Africa, all at the same time. I mean, social media is fantastic, isn't it? Well, not for making people angry, it isn't. But you can make people angry in all sorts of ways. In James chapter 3, the tongue is compared to fire. And it says how a small spark can set a great forest alight. And you know what's true of our tongue is true of our posts. Our posts can have the power to start great fires. It's so easy, isn't it, from behind a phone to type something inflammatory, something you'd never say to a person face to face. With just a few taps of the phone, we can get into all sorts of trouble. And if we see a post or message that makes us angry, it's so easy to respond quickly. I mean, you can be walking down the street, and I mean, we used to see it all the time. You can be walking down the street reading your Facebook and someone posts something that makes you cross, and you could just so quickly just go do-do-do-do and fire off something that starts an argument that very quickly descends and escalates out of control. And in doing so, you've given the devil a foothold. You see, we give the devil an opportunity to drive a wedge of disunity between those who have been united in Christ. It only takes a few poorly chosen words to start a fight. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And we ought to apply that proverb directly to our online posts. If someone has said or done something that makes us angry, we just need to think very carefully about what we do next. We need to think about what we post. In fact, if someone has done something that's made us angry by what they've posted, I would suggest that wherever possible, we don't respond with online media. If that's the only option, so that they're remote, then I would suggest that we don't do it using any of the public tools online, but we do it through private messages. So if you get into an argument or someone's angered you, instead of telling everybody that you're angry, just say to them, look, that really upset me, brother. That really upset me, sister. Can we talk about it? Can we work this through? It seems that this is not advice that everybody takes. There have been a number of high-profile rows on Twitter where all the world sees people having these arguments about sometimes serious things and about sometimes trivial things. But they can turn very nasty very quickly. And I just want to say that that's not to say that we can't have open debate in the public forum online. I think we should be doing that. But there's a difference between having an open debate and a bitter dispute. So we need to seek to be reconciled where we find ourselves tempted to sin because of anger that is invoked through social media. We need to be real, we need to be reconciled, and now we need to be responsible. Verse 28, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. The idea here is of social responsibility, particularly within the community of God's people. You see, evidently, some of these early Ephesian Christians had been living off the proceeds of crime instead of working for a living. The instruction here is a complete turnaround. Instead of being lazy and stealing to get by, they are to work with their hands in such a way that they are able to share with those in need. I want you to notice something in this verse, that working is the solution to stealing, not being in need. Because it says, there are those in need. You'd be able to give those in need. You see, there are many legitimate reasons why a person may be in need. The issue here is where someone chooses to steal instead of working. Now, today, social media has been used by many unscrupulous people to exploit people for dishonest gain. There's one very simple con. You befriend someone on Facebook, you get to know them a little bit, and then you say, you know what, my mom's really sick, I need some money, can you just wire me some money? Or I need to go back to a funeral. These con artists will use emotional topics and appeal to people who are in many ways vulnerable. Now, it should be our hope that we see people like that, who use the social media in that way, coming to Christ. And then we might well expect that they may find it difficult to turn their back on that way of life. Can you imagine if you've been able to make money relatively easily by conning a few people, and then all of a sudden you become a Christian, you realize you can't do that anymore. And yeah, you maybe get a job and it's working out okay, and then a financial pressure comes. I mean, financial pressures come all the time, don't they? And if you know you've got a tap you can just turn on, it would be very tempting to go back to that way of life. We need to make sure that we are able to support people who find themselves in that situation. But you know, on the topic of stealing, I think there's another way in which we may actually be using social media in a way that amounts to stealing, that amounts to theft. So if you're using social media for personal use during work time, when you're being paid by your employer to do a job, it was quite simply that's stealing from your employers, isn't it? When you're supposed to be doing something for them and you're doing something else, you're stealing from them. Now, it may well be, a few years back, using the internet was like, wow, it's expensive, costs money, and employers were like, no, no, you can't use our internet connection. Nowadays, most employers are like, yeah, you can use the internet for your own personal use, just don't do it while you're supposed to be working. You know, during your lunch hour, you can use it, you can do what you like within sensible reason. That's fine. It's when you're supposed to be working, and instead of actually doing your job, you sat there writing posts, reading tweets, essentially just wasting time. I think that's a way in which we can be using social media in a way which amounts to stealing. We shouldn't be doing that. So in our use of social media, we need to be real, we need to be reconciled, we need to be responsible. And fourthly, I think this is the big one. We need to be encouraging. Verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Let me paraphrase that. Do not let your fingers type anything unwholesome. Now, the word unwholesome used here is of rotten trees or rotten fruit. That's not a very appealing thought. Let me just help you see that. When I was growing up, some friends of ours lived on an apple farm in Cape Town. And very often we'd go and spend some time with them and we'd go off and play in the orchards. And a few of the apples would have dropped to the floor and they'd just been left there to rot. Now, apples, when they rot, they turn brown. And they stink. And if you stand on them, it's disgusting. We'd run around barefoot most of the time, and they squelch through your toes. Rotten apples are not pleasant. Just bring that thought to our language, and you get the idea. Rotten talk, foul-mouthed conversation, vulgar language. You wouldn't eat a rotten apple, would you? Wouldn't do you any good. And hearing rotten conversation doesn't do us any good. But the truth is, the appeal here is not about what we hear, but about what we say. See, if our conversation is rotten, if our words are unwholesome, then our words won't be of benefit to those who hear them. If our posts are unwholesome, if what we like and share is unwholesome, it's not going to build each other up. If all I get is a stream full of unwholesome chatter, and I'm spending all my days reading that, it's not going to be helpful. And if I'm the one responsible for putting that out, well, that's even worse, isn't it? Now, of course, there are plenty of posts that we can post that are pretty neutral. So cats doing handstands, they're neither good nor bad. They're just cats doing handstands. It's pretty neutral posts. But there are plenty of things that we can post that could be genuinely positive. We should be posting stuff in line with verse 29, only what is helpful for building others up. And I thought I'd give you a few examples of stuff that I found helpful over time. Yesterday, I thought I'd have a quick look at my Facebook. And to be honest, I went through and I was like, rubbish, 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 nonsense. Not particularly problematic, but just not helpful, not useful. And two things did jump out at me, two things that I'd be prepared to share anyway. And one of them was a simple picture of a child catching tadpoles. I'm like, well, how can that be encouraging? Well, what was encouraging about it was the fact that this was posted by a friend who, along with her husband, have given up their regular jobs to run a youth and children's centre in Cape Town. So they live in a home where one side is their home and the other side they've got about 20-odd kids. And this picture was of a little kid catching tadpoles under the care of this couple, this Christian couple, who are serving the Lord in this way. So a very simple picture, but really encouraging. Because I thought, you know, these guys have done something really big for the Lord, and they're serving Him faithfully doing that. Another one was from an American pastor friend of mine who posted this. I can't wait to worship with my faith family. Take some time today to pray for tomorrow's service and everyone who will attend. See you tomorrow. I was like, yeah. Isn't it great that over there in Pickett, Mississippi, they're going to be meeting tomorrow, and the pastor's pumped about what's happening the next day. It's great. I've also been encouraged by, in just a verse that's been posted, a lot of us have got these apps on our phones, haven't we, where they give us a verse for the day. Sometimes it puts it on a nice background. And you can very easily just click share and send it to all your friends. I'm probably chicken. I don't do it nearly as often as I could. But I've been encouraged by receiving those verses and just reading God's word. I mean, if we're not encouraged by God's word, I think there's probably a problem with us, to be honest. So just that reading God's word can be great. And this is one way where we can get another way where Facebook and Twitter and all those things, we can just be bombarded by drivel, but actually in the drivel there can be some really useful stuff. And also links to good Christian articles, sermons, books, all those kinds of things can be a real encouragement. And you know what, even seeing pictures of people just playing with their kids, but giving credit to God for the gift that they are, or someone out walking in the hills taking a photo saying, isn't God's creation wonderful? We can encourage each other in many different ways using social media. And that's how we should use it. I was reading some statistics. There's something like, I think it's 9,000 Instagram. So Instagram's like a photo sharing platform. There are 9,000 Instagram pictures shared, I think it's like every minute or every second or some. It's ridiculous. There is so much content being produced. We may as well produce some good content, some content that's going to uplift and build others up. It'd be great if after the service morning, I was thinking it'd be great if you could turn to the person next to you and tell them about a post that had encouraged you. Now, maybe you're not really on social media too much. Turn to the person next to you after the service and say, you know what? When my brother or sister in Christ said this to me, I was really encouraged. That would be a good thing to do after the service. I hope that would be something encouraging in and of itself. You see, as much as social media gives us new opportunities of being angry with other people, it also gives us new opportunities to encourage others. We can encourage people across the world if we post things that are helpful. Now, before we move on to verse 31 and 32, we must just look at verse 30, where it says this, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit." In the context of this chapter, this phrase serves as a reminder of our source of unity, God, the Holy Spirit. We are joined together as the one body of Christ by the one Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. He lives within each and every believer. If you're a Christian here this morning, the Holy Spirit is living within you. Now, as He is one, it is only right that He is grieved whenever there's disunity within their body. So anything we do that creates disunity will grieve the Holy Spirit. But He's also grieved by any unholiness. So from the verse immediately before 29, we must see that He is grieved when what we type or when what we speak is unwholesome. We are to use our words in a way that build each other up, that promote unity, and not in ways that bring us down or divide. We need to be encouraged, and if we're going to be encouraged, we need to be those who are encouraging as well. Be encouraging. We need to be real. We need to be reconciled. We need to be responsible. We need to be encouraging. And then moving on to verse 32, there are two attitudes, kindness and forgiveness. The first is set in contrast to the list in verse 31. You see, to be kind will mean putting off bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. We don't need to go into detail in each of those words to get the idea that these words, these attitudes, they won't bring unity. All these things have a sharp edge to them, don't they? An edge that hurts. They are to oversimplify somewhat unkind attitudes. And there's no need for us to post anything like that, is there? If we type something that's heading in those directions, we sit down and go, is this unkind? Then probably what we need to do is just go, you know what? I'm just not going to post that. And we may sometimes feel that we are entirely right and justified in a post we've written, but yet we know that posting it wouldn't be the kind thing to do. We need to just not post it. And it's at this point I just want to mention something which I guess is well known by many, is cyberbullying is a real issue. You know, social media has given all of us, but it seems especially children, new and improved ways of being mean, nasty, and unkind to each other. As I was looking at this, I came across a BBC article which talked about a young girl, I think she was 16 at the time, but started when she was about 11, who'd been bullied through social media, through people posting things and saying things about her and to her, to such a degree that she took her own life. It is a real issue. It's something that I know is being grappled with by many people. And for parents among us, we need to be alert to the realities that social media can be used in this way. And I just think it's worth just mentioning that. So we need to be alert to that risk. And we also need to be a place where people who have been bullied, or people who are being bullied, because it's not only kids who do it. Adults do as well. People can be extremely mean to each other. And I think social media has given people the freedom to be extraordinarily mean without necessarily having to put their face or their name to it. I don't know if you use the This Is Jersey webpage to read the news. I sometimes do to catch up on what's happening. And the articles can be neutral or whatever. But if you read the comments that are put in there, it's quite extraordinary the things people think that they can say in these forums, which are very, very public indeed. Something that happened a little while ago, when there was the debate over a clause in the same-sex marriage bill, which was published on the Jersey Evening Post website, the comments written in there about some of our brothers and sisters on this island were absolutely horrendous. They were genuinely horrendous. We need to make sure that we are a place where we can be a safe place for people who have been bullied in this way. And we also need to be sure that we're a place where we are doing none of it from our side in any way. We cannot tolerate and must not tolerate bullying from within ourselves. It is a sad case that there are also a number of situations where churches have been responsible for bullying. We cannot allow that to happen. That must stop. And the counterpoint, the positive against that, is in verse 32, be kind and compassionate. Be kind and compassionate to one another. It's a heartfelt concern for others. You see, when we write posts, as much as we can do harm, we can do good. We can show care. We can show concern. We can respond to posts with kindness and compassion. This should just make us pause every time before we click post. And we just need to ask ourselves, it doesn't have to be a long, detailed, introspective consideration. We just need to think, is what I'm about to post kind and compassionate to those who are going to see this post? A while back, when we were looking at 1 Corinthians, we thought about how at times we might choose to restrict our freedoms for the sake of a weaker brother in Christ. Now, we ought to apply that to how we post as well. So, for instance, I know this was something that was discussed in one of the Bible study groups. If you had a friend who was really struggling to control their finances, and one of the things that made that a real problem was shopping. They really loved shopping, but frankly, they were shopping too much. Okay. If I was to go out on a shopping spree and take a photo of myself holding a whole bunch of shopping bags and going with a post saying something like this, big smile saying, amazing day shopping, wasn't it great? And I know that person's going to read it. Do you think that'd be kind? It's not going to be it's not going to be a helpful thing to post, is it? I could just leave it. I just don't need to post stuff like that anyway. But there are more serious things which we might want to post where we just need to think, is this kind to my brother or sister in Christ? Is this going to help them draw closer to Jesus, or is this going to turn them away from Jesus? Is this going to make it harder for them? Is this going to lead them to sin? So let's write posts that are kind. Now, I want us to notice that very often it's not the initial posts that are kind or unkind. I've mentioned this a little bit already. But it's those comments. When we're responding to comments, we need to be just a little more careful about how we engage with people, making sure that we're kind in our comments to people. I was talking to Amy about this last night, and she said, you know, you might post a picture of yourself just enjoying yourself on the beach with the kids, and you think, you know, it's a pretty neutral picture, and someone posts, lovely picture, you look a bit tired, you probably need a holiday. You know, and like underlying is going, I can see you having a great time, but I'm grumpy, or something. We just need to be careful that when we post something, it's not going to be we need to be careful that what we say is not going to be misconstrued. We're not entirely responsible for what other people think if we write something that is plainly clear But if we write something, we just need to think, might that person think I'm being mean or unkind by posting what I'm posting? It's true, isn't it, that it's so easy just to write comments and to make posts these days. We can do it on our phones, we can do it on tablets, we can do it on the go. We just need to take a moment before we click post. What we post online can have a real impact on someone's life. And so we should use that to impact on them positively, taking the opportunity to build others up and not to bring them down. And when we get it wrong, or when others get it wrong and hurt us, well, we need to have an attitude of forgiveness. We need to be forgiving in the way we use our social media. Verse 32 says, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We need to be quick to seek forgiveness when we posted something that we shouldn't have. And I'm sure if most of us sit down and we think, yeah, I've definitely posted stuff which was not what it could have been. We need to be quick to ask for forgiveness. We also need to be quick to forgive those who have hurt us when they say, you know what, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have said that. We need to be quick to forgive. And the basis for that forgiveness is God's forgiveness of all our sins that we've received in Christ from God. Just as in Christ God forgave you. I think it's fitting that as Paul draws this long list of instructions to a conclusion, he lifts our thoughts to God, the God who has forgiven us. It's a reminder of why it is that we want to live this way. A reminder of why it is that we want to clothe ourselves with these attitudes. Why we want to communicate with each other in this way. Because we are sinners who in Christ the Son have been forgiven by God the Father and are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. You see, our desire to change the way we communicate, our desire to change the way we are, comes from an actual reality that we have been changed at the very core. We have been forgiven. We live differently because of the forgiveness we have already received. Our change of attitude comes from a heart that has been changed by God. So if you've been sitting here this morning thinking, that's a whole long list of stuff that Jeremy just told me I'm supposed to do or think about, just remember that it comes from a heart that is being changed by God. His Spirit enables us. His Spirit changes us and helps us to use social media and our communication and our tongues in ways that build others up and not break them down. So the opening question again was, what should I post? To put that very quickly, we should post things that will build others up. So let's use social media to be encouragers of one another as we seek to live out our calling as Christians. So let's be real, let's be reconciled, responsible, encouraging, kind, and forgiving. Let's turn to God in prayer as we ask Him to enable us by His Spirit to do just that. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have communicated to us through Your Word, but ultimately through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank You that through Him, we have the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, as we think about our use of social media, the things we've said or done on it, and Lord, where we realize we've done things we shouldn't, Lord, we ask You to forgive us. We come to You knowing that You will forgive us. You will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But Lord, we thank You for the wonderful opportunity that it presents to us to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ across the globe. The opportunity that it presents to us to build one another up as Christians. Lord, thank You that we can use social media to build Christians up who are in far-flung places. Thank You that we can use social media to hear about how You're working in and around the globe, and Lord, how that is such a wonderful encouragement to us. So Father, we pray that You would help us to be wise in our use of social media, and would primarily use it to build each other up in the unity of the Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.